Daf is Daf Chaf Aleph. So today's learning is sponsored by the Shukman family. Lila Nishmas Leah Bas Aaron Hakoyin. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. So we got to the last five lines of Chaf Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes from a Mishnah. The Mishnah appears in Maseches Olos. It says as follows. We've been talking about Ohel a little bit. That's the beginning of this Mishnah about sleeping underneath the bed, how the mita is a separation between the person, the floor, and the sukkah. So we're going to discuss a lot about Olam now. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah quoted, it says Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah says there, Echada Chor Shecharu Mayim. Let's say you have a hole that was made, constructed by water. Water over time could, you know, create hole, and it chipped away, and there's a little hole that was made naturally somehow in the dirt. O Shratim, or maybe some animals had carved out a hole in the ground. O Shachlasu Mlachas, which is the salty water, may have also etched out a hole in the ground. V'chein Midbach Abanim, or let's say you have a structure of rocks, natural rocks, that somehow there was a hole that was created in Ohel, or V'chein Sorer Shel Koros, or maybe some beams that fell and created some cavities. All of these types of olim, regardless of what they're made from, ma'il al hatuma, will be an ohel over tuma, which means that let's say you have a tumas mace in that ohel, anything else within that ohel will become tame, and it will also block from any tuma going through that ohel. That's according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol ohel she'eno asui bide adam eno ohel. If it was not made by man, it was somehow naturally, whether by water or shratzim, it wasn't made by bide adam, that does not have a din of an ohel. So how does he know this? My time in Rabbi Yehuda, how come an ohel is only that which was created by man? So the Gemara explains on the top of Chaf Aleph, Yolif ohel, ohel mi mishkan. We have a gezer shavah. Ksiv hach, it says by Tumas Meis in Parshas Chukas, Zos haTorah adam, kiyamas ba ohel. The Ksiv Hasmet says there by the ohel of the Mishkan, by Yifros es ha'ohel ala Mishkan, that they spread an ohel on top of the Mishkan. Malahalan bide adam, just like the curtains, the coverings of the Mishkan were made, woven by people. So afkan bide adam, so too the ohel by Tumas Meis was also made bide adam. So the interesting question, there's a sefer called Emak Sukos. He asks the following question. The Medrash tells us that the Mishkan was constructed al yidei Neis. The Neis somehow came up on its own. So how can the Gemara says here by Yifros Allah that Moshe Rabbeinu was one who spread over the parochas? So he says maybe it's possible that the beams came up Aide Neis, but the parochas that was spread over all the beams, that was spread by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what his suggestion he makes. But either way, the ohel of the curtains that placed over the Mishkan were certainly made by Adam. So just like that is Bidei Adam, so too the ohel of Tumas Meis can only be an ohel if it was made Bidei Adam. Now Rabbanim respond back and they say, no, ohel, ohel, riba. It says the word ohel twice in the context of Parshas Chukas and Tumas Meis. Ohel, ohel, the double lashon comes to be inclusive, to include bein bidei adam, bein bidei shemayim. They all qualify as an ohel. So Gemara now says, v'sabar, Rabbi Yehuda, kol ohel she'enu asa bidei adam, eno ohel. Is it true that Rabbi Yehuda holds, if it wasn't made bidei adam, it's not an ohel? Meaning only if it was made by the Adam, is that an Ohel? We're going to bring a decent-sized discussion right now, which is going to show us that even an animal, which we're assuming is not by the Adam, an animal can serve as an Ohel, Rabbi Yehuda admits. So what's going on here? How do we know this? So Gemara quotes Irminu, based on a Mishnah Maseches Para. If you remember Chatzeres, we discussed in the beginning of Maseches Yuma, how they used to, based on the Tzedukim, Tzedukim felt a Tivul Yom cannot perform the Parduma. We say a Tivul Yom can. You go to the mikvah and does not need to wait the Harav Shemesh in order to do the Parduma. So we would dafka, metame a person, have him go to the mikvah and as a Tivul Yom perform the Maisa Parduma. But because of that, which seemed a little bit degrading to Parduma, we had to counter it with many other chumras. So in that light, the Gemara says, Chatzeros hayu binuyos biyushalayim agave selam. They have these courtyards that were constructed over some pillars, over some rocks. V'tachteim chalal, underneath it was empty cavities. Mipnei kevrat yom. The reason why they did that, because the chatzar, you don't know where anyone was buried in Yerushalayim. You have no idea. Many people live there. You have no idea who's buried where. So therefore, you wanted to make sure there was a cavity above the ground floor and a courtyard overhang. Therefore, there's a separation of ohel that any tumas meis that might be there is blocked by the chatzar. It won't penetrate to the chatzar above. So they make these high standing chatzeros. Umevim nashim ubros v'yoldo sham. They'd bring women who were pregnant and they'd give birth there to these children. Umegadlos b'neim sham lepara, and raise the children so they'd be a void on top of this courtyard so they wouldn't become tame at all. They'd give birth there, they'd raise them there. Umevim, so that's what they would do. We'll get back to some of the interesting halachas about the ubros, but they'd give birth to the children, that's so the children would stay tower. And then, Mevi and Shvarim, they then bring oxen there. Vagabem de losses. On top of these oxen, they placed some doors, flat doors, and flat doors, ritvasa, are not makabel tuma, even though normally a board can become tame. If it was made to be a delis, it certainly cannot become tame. So they place a board, a delis, a door, over the on the backs of the ox. Vitinokos, yoshna gabem, the children will sit on top of them. So this way, no tuma. If they walk over any tuma, to get from the chatzer, now they need to go from the chatzer to where the ma'im chaim is to draw the water out. So that is going to block them. The door will block any tuma from penetrating to the children. So then the kosa shall even be damned. They use rock, stone-made cups, because remember, stone cannot become tummy. These are one of the chumers they had made, that since they had to be very makel, l'gabei tumah yom, they're machmir by other halachas, so they had to use only stone-made cups. And higil shiluach, they got to the shiluach this spring, the yardu l'toch ha-mayim, the children would get off the door of the ox and go into the water, umilam, they just draw the water up, all over yashulam, they go back on top of the doors, on top of the oxen, and get back to where they needed to get to. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mimkomo Haya Mishalish. No, they actually remain on top of the door and lower down a rope and a pail to draw the water, but they wouldn't get off the door. Umimala Mipne Kevaratom, but to avoid having to become Tame. Now Rashi points out, there's a machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama. Is it enough to just lower down, or you actually have to draw it up directly? So the Tanakhama holds you must draw out the water. Lowering it down a pail, it does not suffice. So that's one time machlokas, not needed for our purposes, but either way, we'd see that the children would stand on top of their, sit on top of the doors. So then comes along the Brice and says, V'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo hayu mevin d'losos elishvarim. You do not need to actually use the doors. The children could sit directly on top of the oxen. So the oxen, they were fat enough, wide enough to serve as an ohel themselves. So how could that be? We assume the shor is not be the adam. It was naturally, or it was themselves, but it wasn't be the adam. So how could this serve as an ohel? We said above, Rabbi Yehuda says only be the adam is an ohel, but a shor isn't be the adam. How does he allow this to work as an ohel? So the Gemara says again, v'ha shvarim de ohel she'eno asa be the adam hu, and yet the katani Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo hayu mevin d'lasos elo shvarim. So Gemara says, no. You're right. In general, Rabbi Yehuda requires an ohel to be made bid'adam. In this case, he agrees. Even if it's not bid'adam, it works. Why? What's different about this case? So ki also Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael. He reported to them in Bavel. They quoted Amar Rebbe Lazar, Modi Rabbi Yehuda kimale egrof. When the size of the airspace, the chal, is only a tefach, then only bid'adam works as an ohel. But the size of an egrof, which is a fist, which is pretty much a tefach, but Rashi points out a big fist of a big human being, which could sometimes be the size of a person's head. If it's that big, then even an ohel that's not bidei adam would work. So imagine you have this fat cow, fat ox, underneath, between the belly of the ox and the ground, there's not a tefach, it's much larger than that. So since it's a larger cavity, that will serve as an ohel, even though it's not bidei adam. And that's exactly what the Brisa says as well, that says here, Tanya Nami Hachi, Modi Rabbi Yehuda, Bishkifen Rikike Aslam, when it comes to these big rocks and stones that create a cavity more than an egrof, a Mali egrof, that will also be an ohel, even though it's a natural ohel, not be the adam. So there's so many things to talk about here. So let's take a look first at Tosos Dibur Maschil, Umevian Nashim Ubros Vyolos. They bring the ladies who are pregnant, and they'd give birth there. Viafal Pishe Hayu Tinokos Timeim Benita Vyolos. When the children are born, they become tame from their mother. Their mother's tumas nida, tumas yoledes. The children are now tame. Now that, by the way, is an assumption. The Meiri says, not true. The children do not become tame, because how are they tame from their mother? They're what's called tumas beisdarim. When something is hidden, it's blua. Blua and beisdarim are different, but it's hidden, it cannot become tame. So the Meiri says there is no tuma, but Tosu says that there is tuma. The children are born, they're tame, tumas nida, and yoledes from their mother. So lo hayu choshishim, they weren't concerned with that tumo. Ella l'shamim et tumas ameis. They were only concerned with tumas ameis. Dibay hazak, and then that needs a whole paraduma process. If they're tumas nida, put them in the mikvah. That's fine. But if they're tumas ameis, that's a much more serious way to retire them. So they only were trying to avoid tumas ameis. Ubetuma yotzi megufo, tuma that comes from the body itself, could go in bal keri, kidetani b'tosefta, shayu megadlin osan ad shayu b'nei sheva shanim o shmona v'lo yosim. They only raised the children there until 7 or 8, but Shaloyu Rukeri, as long as they didn't see Kari. They were young, they were too young. They raised them until 11 and 12. When they're 6 or 7, 8, then where Tumas Kari wasn't a concern. So that's what the Gemara says. Now, Tosa says. Now, Tosa asks the question, wait a second. This only helps so far. The children are only allowed to fill the water up. when it comes to the other aspects of pouring the water over the afer of the parduma, an ish, a man must do this, a grown man must do that. So you're going to have a stage where there's a grown man doing this, so how's that going to help? So ask Tosos for Kisas Tema. Ma moyo miloize. What good is this drawing of the water? Show you mimal in the betinoko. Sof, in the end of the day, but in an ish b'shas kiddush, shenosin ha efer b'mayim or b'shas hazah, the Rebbe Yehuda, a l'rabbanan fun. So v'yesh lomar, dema shahaya l'yachol asakein, misakin b'shim mala. You're right, they couldn't solve every problem. They couldn't, but they, whatever they could, they did. So one of the issues they were able to solve is that the miloy mayim can be done by a child. So those children were raised until the age of 7 or 8 in that area, in that chatzar, until they're able to fill out the water. Fine. So then...
So the kli of the Evan, the Evan is not considered a kli, and they have to transfer it something that is mekabel tuma inside Asia?
No, I don't think that...
But then if a man takes it and it's a kli Evan, anyways, it doesn't make a difference.
No, but if he himself is...
So what?
No, but tumas masa, though. If he carries something, it would be tumas masa, I believe. So then, the interesting question, there's a Sefer Rokeach that points out that there's a din that if a woman is pregnant, a woman who's a bas, Ashes Kohen, if she's pregnant, so the din is she's allowed to walk into a cemetery. Why is she allowed to walk into a cemetery? Her child is, she married a Kohen, so her child might be a Kohen. So there's a Svek Seika because maybe the child is a daughter, a girl, and maybe it's a Nefil. So a Svek Seika, she's allowed to go into the cemetery. What comes out from this, though, if it's a boy, he would become Tame. So become Tame, if he's pregnant, that should be a concern. So what help does it do if she's pregnant and she walks over to the cemetery? That's what the Gemara said, Mubros. So a couple of answers are brought. The Mishmer Sekohuna, the Sefer, he writes that they actually, one answer he says is that you do the best you can. Mashiach l'sakin l'sakin, you can't solve every problem. He gives a second answer and says, no, they actually bring the children before 40 days of conception. So when she gets rather 40 days, within 40 days of conception, where the child's not yet a vlad yet, and there's no concern of tumah. But if it's more than 40 days, where it's already a vlad, that's where the concern is. A third answer that's suggested is by a savior called Chadve Deya. He says that no, there's a din that we know when the chaya, when Elisha Navi brought back to life the child that died, there's no tumas mace. So he said as well, when a child is born, it's a bria chadasha, and there's no tumas mace anymore, no tumah at all. So even though maybe it's a tumas mace when the mother walked over as she's mubaris, the moment the child was born, it's a bria chadasha, and any tumah was in the history is all deleted, reset, and started from the beginning. Okay, let's go right to now. Gemara says, last six lines of the Amud here. The Gemara says, V'harei delas d'yesh b'kama egrofim. So a delas, a door, has many egrofim, meaning from the ground, you have the delas, the door on top of the shore. Now, between the ground floor and the door, there's plenty of egrofim. There's a lot of space, amos, probably. So how come Rabbi Yehuda said that you're not allowed to use a delas? He says, V'katani Rabbi Yehuda, lo hayu mevin delasos, el shvarim. He said, don't use the door, use the oxen. Why can't you? The door would have worked as well. It would have worked even better, because it's more of a space. That would have worked as an ohel. So Amar Bai says, lo hutzrachu lahavid lasas. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda says a door would have worked, but you don't need the door, because the ox works as well to create an ohel. That's all. Rav Amar, no. Lo hayu mevin delasas kol ikar, mipnei shadaita shatinok, gasa alav, shema yotzi rosha echa me'avar avitamim. No, they wouldn't bring the delos. Yes, the delos would work, but it's not so practical. What would happen? The Rashi explains that the child would be sitting on top of the door. He thought he's like on a wagon, like a ride. He'd feel very comfortable, he'd feel very safe, and he'd just stick his head out, like he's sticking his head out a window of a wagon, and he'd look over to see what's going on there, and then he might become tameh. He wouldn't be protected from the door anymore. If the child's on the ox, he's scared to fall off. He's going to stay tight. He's not going to stick his head out. But once there's a door, there's a security there, he might stick his head out, so it might really undermine the whole purpose. And that's why Rabbi Huda suggested, don't bring the delis, rather have him sit directly on the ox, because the ox itself does serve as an ohel. Go on to Amud Beis now. Bekevek to home, that's part of the previous statement here. And the Tanik Kavasa Dera Rava, the Bryce that supports Rava's understanding, it says as follows. The Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo hayu mevin delasas kol ikar, mipnei shadaita shatina gasa, lav shema yotzi rosho o echa me'avarav, v'yitame v'kevrat ha'om, el mevin shvar mehametzarim, mitzrim from Mitzrayim. They brought special oxen from Mitzrayim, which are very large apparently. Shekrisoseim rechavos, the stomachs were very wide. Batinokos yoshon agaben, the children would sit on top of it. V'kosu shel evin bideyam, higil shiluach, they got to the spring, yardu umulam v'olav yashu lehen agaben. They draw the water and go back and sit on top of the ox. That's what's going on. Okay, excellent. So now the Gemara says that we have this concept of Rabbi Yehuda of Kama Mali Agrofim. There are many Agrofim between the ground and the whatever we're talking about. That creates an ohel. So the Gemara says, Hare Mita, Diyeshba Kama Agrofim, that we know between the ground floor and the bottom of the bed. There are many Agrofim. Agrofim is, again, the size of a head maybe at most. and that serves as an ohel. Vitznan, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Nogin, Hayinu Shahinu Yishenim Tachas Amita, Bipnei Zakenim. So they would sleep underneath the beds. So how come that's not an ohel? Won't that be an ohel? Won't that be mafsik between me sleeping on the ground? The mita's mafsik between me and the schach. Shouldn't that be possible? Why would that be allowed? So the Gemara says, no shiny mita, ho v'legaba asuya. Because the beds were made to be on top of it, not to be below it. So therefore, an ohel, according to this at least line of the Gemara, an ohel is only an ohel if it was made for underneath it, to protect that which is below it. But to protect that which is above it, or to serve that which is above it, that's not called an ohel. So therefore, sleeping beneath the bed, even though they're kamei grofim, that's not an ohel. So Gemara says, wait a second. The same thing by shvarim. Shvarim navi legaban asum. The oxen were made for that which is above it, if you will, like to hold things on its back, not to put things beneath it. So just like you're going to say a mita doesn't serve as an ohel, so to an ox shouldn't serve as an ohel. So kiasa Rabin came back from Eretz Yisrael. He reported to Amar Belazar. Shiny shvarim hol maginim al haroim bechame pnei achamo bekshamim bnei achsham. You're right. Maybe the ox were not created for protecting that which is below, but people would use it. Apparently, the shepherds would sleepily, or at least go beneath the ox to protect it from the sun as shade or from the rain. So people would use it. That wasn't the intention, but that's used sometimes for that case. And therefore, it does have a certain function for below the shore and can serve as an ohel. As opposed to the mita's only purpose is to protect that which is on top of it, not that which is below it. Where it says, what do you mean? The same thing. Ihachi mita nami, a bed as well. Ho magina al menalayim sandalayim shetachta. The Gemara Bar Basa says that the Talmud Chacham's bed has two things underneath it. Either just shoes, like the winter shoes, and the summer shoes. So even though that wasn't the goal of the bed, but people utilize the under parts of the bed just like a shore. So it should serve as an ohel, just like a shore serves as an ohel. There's an interesting Rashi. I don't recall the Gemara Bar Basa saying this as the reason, but Rashi explains why is it a problem to put so many things underneath the bed. Just look at this Rashi. You see Rashi, four lines down from the top. It's a two dots. It's not a bold. He says, "Lahachi nakit gavi mita manal mesandalim damir mebaba basra ezu mita shatam lachacham." What's the bed of a tamal chacham? Kol she'ein tachta ela manalim shel balabayis bimosa chama besandalim bimosa gshamim. You have the rain shoes. You have the winter shoes. V'shenosin sham kishu balashachem. He places them beneath the bed when he goes down to lie down for lishan to sleep. Cholitz manal v'takes off his shoes v'nosin tachas mitasa. About that, I think Rashi adds, I don't think this is the reason of the Gemara, but I could be wrong. About losses tachta devar macher, but to put other things underneath the bed, it's gnai hulo. It's a gnai. What's a gnai? So Rashi says shemar gil bnei habayis l'sham. Because what's going to happen is if you're sticking all your things underneath your bed, your food or food, other issues, but everyone's who knows pots and pans. Everyone's going to come into your bedroom all the time because they need to have what you're storing underneath the bed. And because of that, Rashi has a gnai that people are walking in and out of your bedroom. I think that's Rashi's addition of a svara, why it's considered gnai lo. So then, either way, back to square one. We're trying to figure out, how is it true that the shore works as a ohel, but the mita does not work as an ohel? Again, you can sleep beneath a sukkah, a mita, within a sukkah. It's not an ohel. What's the difference between a mita and a shore? And the Gemara finally says, Ella Amar Rav. Rav says the following reason. Shiny shvarim ho vasum lahagin al b'nei me'ayim shalem. An ox is made to protect the innards of an ox. It's more of a purpose. And therefore, based on the pasuk Shinemar, it says the pasuk of Eov, Ur basar tal bishenu, ubatsamos v'gidim tisochichenu. That the skin and flesh are going to cover you, and the bones and the sinews, the gidim, will be covered up by the skin. So Lashon Schach is applied to an ox. Now the truth is, Tosas points out in the top Tosas here, he says it's not really referring to an animal, it's referring to a human being. Tosas writes, V'yafa gab da haikra be'odom ksiv, kol shekein behema she'krisa lamata kein ohel. If for a human being we view that the skin is a schach, an ohel, for that which is within, certainly an animal which has less purpose in this world, the skin is viewed as an ohel. So what comes out from this, it's a special kasher kasher in essence, that animals or human beings serve as an ohel. We don't have such a pasuk by a mita. That's why a shor is an ohel, but a mita is not an ohel. The Gemara then gives another suggestion. Ibai Seima, maybe there's a difference between the halachas of Tumah and the halachas of Sukkah. Ibai Seima, Rabbi Huda Tameh, Damar, he holds Sukkah, Diras Keva, Ba'inan. Rabbi Huda is one of the five or six shitas we saw that requires Sukkah's Diras Keva. And therefore, he says, Rabbi Gaba, Havale Mita Diras Arai, and sleeping underneath a bed is certainly only a temporary dwelling. The Sukkah, Ol Keva, Velo Ase, Ol Arai, Mevatel Ol Keva. You cannot have a temporary dwelling place, an ohel arai, the mita, to knock out a more permanent ohel, the ohel keva of the sukkah. And that's why it's allowed. Yes, it's an ohel. You're right. The mita is an ohel just like a shore is an ohel. But legabe hilcha sukkah, an ohel arai, cannot be mevat an ohel keva, and therefore the schach wins out, beats out the mita. That's the second suggestion of the Gemara. Marcy, now, according to the Svara, that an ohel arai cannot be mevat an ohel keva, we have a question now. V'ha Rabbi Shimon, damar nami sukkah diras keva b'inan. Rabbi Shimon is one of those few Tanaim who hold of it, and the Rashi tells us that he holds you need four walls, which indicates a dearest keva. And yet he also said, "V'asa ol arai mevata ol keva." He was one of the people in the Mishnah, our Mishnah here in the Perek, that said you cannot sleep underneath a bed. Why? Shouldn't you say on ol harai cannot be mevata ol keva? So Gemara says that's goof of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. They both agree a sukkah is an ol keva. They both agree a mita is an ol harai. They debate whether or not an ol harai can be mevatel an ol kevel, as the Gemara explains. So they say here, behold, pliki, mar savar osi ol harai umevatel ol keva, umar savar lo osi ol harai umevatel lo dir ol keva. That's the machlokas itself. So now the Gemara says further, it says, one second here, okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Shimon maisa betavi avdo, there's once a maisa, and we had the whole discussion. So the Gemara points out, he says in a very interesting language, Amr Tanya, Amr Bishimon, Misi Chasel She Rabbi Gamliel Lamadnu, Shnedvar. From the conversation, the speech of Rabbi Gamliel, we can learn two things. Lamadnu Shevadim Turmina Sukkah, that they're parted from the Sukkah. Lamadnu Shehayashain Tachasamita Layatse De Chavasa, two halachas. So why does he say Misi Chasel She Rabbi Gamliel? Leima asks the Gemara, Midvar She Rabbi Gamliel. What's the Lashon Sicha? The Gemara points out, Milsa Agav Orcha Kamashim, we're learning something, another incidental din here, concept as follows. How do you know even the conversations, the mundane conversations of a Talmud Chacham requires limud, requires understanding, and there's what to learn? How do you know this concept? So the leaves are not going to wither. Don't let them wither. Which means even the lighter parts of the tree, don't let them wither. They're insignificant. It's not the fruit. It's not the bark. They're just leaves. Even the leaves, you should not let wither. So to even the light conversations of a Talmud Chacham, don't let fly away. You should learn even from their words. That's the understanding. So misichaso means he wasn't being serious what he was talking about. He wasn't trying to teach any halachas. He was just talking how to have a conversation. But from that very light conversation, we were able to learn these two halachas, and that's the klal, learn even from the sichas. So look at Tosis for a second. One of the things we learned from the statements and conversations of Rabbi Gamliel was that Eved Kanani is Pater. So of course he's Pater from Sukkah. The mitzvah says, Shesman Grama. What's the Chiddush here? So Tosis says the Havamina is that V'afagav, the high mitzvah says, Shesman Grama, and Avadim are always Pater from time-bound mitzvahs. It's Riach Lashmin, we need to teach here that the low tema, don't say the chayovim bishum dechsiv teshu kein tadru. Since we know one of the concepts we haven't seen yet in this Gemara, we'll see in the Masechta a few times shortly, but you have to have teshu kein tadru. Live in the sukkah like you live at home. How do you live at home? With avadim. You have slaves, people working for you. So just like you work inside the house with them, you should work outside the house with them in the sukkah. That's the havim, you know. Kamash from the din is that no, avadim are actually pater from the sukkah. Let's finish off the daf now with a new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hasomech sukaso bikari hamita kshera. If let's say you are somech the sukkah. So up until now we spoke about the schach, we spoke about the walls. Now we're talking what's called a maimed. A maimed is that which holds the schach. Like in our sukkahs, we have the wooden beams going across, and the schach lays on top of the beams. The beams are not the schach, they're maimed the schach. They're holding up the schach. So let's say you're using poles of a bed, which we know are makabel tumah, are not good for schach, but they're being maimed the schach. So Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakh Hamas, says, that's acceptable, that's okay. Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer, im ein yachol lamar b'fnei atzma psulam. If the schach could not be held on its own, it's only because the poles of the bed are holding them up, they're possible. But let's say they could hold on their own, their bed posts are just adding additional stability to them, that would be acceptable. Let me give you an example. For example, people always talk about every year the sukkah and the schach, could use these plastic ties to keep down the schach. That's mamid, the mamid the schach with that which is possible for schach. How's that allowed? So all the answers they say, because since the schach will stay in the wood beams on its own, and the only reason why you tie them in case there's a heavy wind, that's acceptable because they can hold on its own. Rabbi Yehuda says, but if it can't hold on its own, it's only being held by these metal bedposts, which are possible, then it'll be disqualified. Look at Rashi says, Rashi doesn't say anything here. So that's the machlokas. Is a mamid pasul l'schach or not pasul l'schach? So Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Huda. What was the reason Rabbi Huda, who said you cannot use the karyamita for the holding the schach up? So pli gibar Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Abba bar Mamal. They have a machlokas amarayim here. Chadamar one holds mipnei shein lakeva, because it has no keva, it's not permanent. So Rashi says here, shein lakeva, shem mitaltelas ayidei mita. Because since it's being held by the bedpost, now if you move the bed, you're moving the schach, it's just not keva. Rabbi Huda requires keva. So it's not permanent enough. Number two answer is, because it's being held, the schach is being held by that which is mekabel tumah, and that's also a problem. Not only is the schach, can the schach not come from mekabel tumah, but even that which is mamid the schach also cannot come from that which is mekabel tumah. So two different reasons, either because no keva, or it's mekabel tumah. So my benai, what's the nafkamina? Let's say you place some metal poles and you place the schach on top of that. Well, that's going to be certainly keva, but it'll still be mekabel tumah. So the man damar lefishein la keva. The reason why the bedposts are possible because it's not permanent enough. Well, hare yesh la keva. With metal poles, there certainly are keva, and it would be acceptable for Rabbi Yehuda. The man damar bipnei shemamida bedavar mekabel tumah. Well, hare mamida bedavar mekabel tumah. Metal poles are also mekabel tumah. In which case, this would also be possible according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara says and has one qualification here. So Amar Abaye. Abaye says lo shanu ela smach. It's only true if you're mamish being somek the schach directly on that which is makabel tumah. Vasikach agabe amita ksheira. Let's say you have as follows. Rashi points out. Let's say you have the metal posts or the posts of the bedposts, which are possible. But then you add an additional peg to the doorposts or to the bedposts, and the schach's on the pegs, not on the doorposts themselves, so it's a mamid de mamid, it's a double mamid, so then that would be acceptable even according to Behuda. I mean, it's only probably put the schach directly in the bedposts, but the bedposts have a wooden beam coming from them, and then you put it on the wooden beam, that would be acceptable. So meaning all our sukkahs, for the most part, the walls are puzzle. They're not good for a schach, but you put beams over them, so as long as they're on the beams, not on the doors, that's acceptable. So that's what he says again, lo shanu, that's only puzzle, the Rabbi Yehuda, ela asamach, if it's samach on the psul itself. About sikach agavi amita ksheira. My time, and what's the reason? Leman damar lifishin lakeva harish lakeva, because if you're putting additional beams in, that makes it keva. That's good for Rabbi Yehuda. Leman damar bideshin mamida badabar makavatuma haray ein mamida badabar makavatuma, since you have a wood beam on top of the metal poles, therefore it's acceptable. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We first spoke about this ohel that was made bide adam. Rabbi Yehuda says it only works if bide adam. If it was not bide adam, it's not an ohel. Based on the Gzer Shava from the Mishkan, Chacham argued and said all types of olim, bein bide adam, bein enom bide adam is considered an ohel. We then discussed a long case of the Paraduma. So how could he, doesn't he say that if it's not bide adam, it's not good? So how can we allow the shore to serve as an ohel? And the Gemara says that when it's a large shear, when the halal is larger than a mali egrof, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, the ohel, she'eno asa bide adam, would still serve as an ohel. Then we discussed what was the need for the delis. So Rabbi Yehuda says you don't require the delis on top of the shore, either because it was just unnecessary, the shore itself served as it, or it would create actually a problem because a child might feel so comfortable, stick his head out, and become tameh. So he said, don't use a door at all. And then the Gemara said about the bed, how come Rabbi Yehuda, if he holds that if it's a male egrof, it serves as an ohel, how are you allowed to sleep underneath a mita that's within a sukkah? Isn't that an ohel? And is that mafsik between the person and the sukkah? So the Gemara gave two answers. One answer was that there's a special gzeirat kasa that a shore itself serves as a schach, and we don't have that and as an ohel. We don't have such a gzeirat kasa by a mita, or because, you're right, it is an ohel underneath the bed, but the ohel keva of the schach is mevata, the ohel harai of the bed. Rabbi Shimon actually argued and felt that an ohel arai will ruin the ohel keva. Then we had this concept we learned from Sichasa Shah over Tatan Chacham. You have to learn Tzichalimod. Then finally, this discussion of being somech the Karyamita is acceptable for the Tanakhama. Yehuda says it's not acceptable either because it's an ein la keva or because it's mamid bedavar hamakabal tuma. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.
Do we hold that the